Preparing and Managing a Christian Education Budget is a practical message by Paul Duras, children's pastor at East Hill Foursquare Church in Gresham, Oregon. This message was recorded at Bringing Truth to Life, an intensive for Christian educational leaders, sponsored by the National Department of Foursquare Christian Education, held at Life Bible College in San Dimas.
Well, there's a lot of things that you learn being a children's pastor. Right after I started, we started into a cowboy theme. We haven't been doing it that long, but we've been in and out of themes. And I learned how to rope, and that was kind of a fun thing for me to learn. Let me see, what else did I learn how to do with a rope? And how to do a few tricks. Boy, you get to be a kid again. And sometimes, let me see, what else did I learn right away? I had to learn how to play a guitar. I just knew only a few chords on my guitar at the time, and all of a sudden, I was it. And how many of you have learned a few things as you've been thrust into the responsibility? Well, one thing that I've had to learn was how to manage money, because money is a big part of what we do. For some people in children's ministry, money has never been an issue because there isn't any money. And so it's not something you have to learn how to use. But money is an issue. And this morning, my heart for you is that you don't just leave with an outline, with a few creative ideas, but that God would do something in your heart. I'm praying that God would give each of us a new measure of faith, a measure of wisdom, and encouragement to keep on going. I believe that if God can give you a vision, He can provide all the finances that you need. How many of you believe that? He can give you all the finances you need to fulfill that mission, that vision. In simple terms, this is what I'm talking about. Vision goes before budget. I want more money. Well, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I just want to do more things. You know, that's, I want to do more things is not a vision, is it? And a lot of times people don't respond to us, maybe our administrator or our senior pastor, they don't want to give us any money just to do more things. They really do want to hear a vision. We've been spending a lot of time about having a vision. And a vision-propelled budget is what we need. God provides both the way and the means. If He's given you an assignment, let me tell you, He will provide. Turn to the next person next to you and just look them straight in the eye and say, God will provide for you. All we are asked to do is just believe. Believe in a few other things. Peter turned to Jesus one day, and this is recorded in Matthew chapter 17. He said, Jesus, we have a problem. Money is a problem here. Well, they were asked to provide temple tax. And you know the story. Jesus told Peter, hey, just go down to the water, throw a line in, pull out a fish, look in his mouth. There's your solution. So that's what Peter did. What did Peter learn that day? Money's not a problem, Peter. And, you know, I started thinking about that in terms of budget. Jesus didn't plan ahead. Did he know that someone was going to ask for a tax? That they were going to need that? He could have planned ahead, saved some money, said, here, Peter, I've been thinking about that too. Here's the money. But what did he do? He picked out something really unusual. I think I learned from that God has lots of ways that He can provide unexpected avenues of provision, that it's not just one way. And we can learn that from God. We get locked into a box sometimes. Money, number two on this point of vision-propelled budget, money is not the gas that keeps this ministry machine going. Sometimes it takes that place. And when we run out of budget, when we run out of money, everything slows down to a halt. What's the real problem there? Discouragement, usually. I don't have any more money to spend, and I get discouraged. Oh, no. Well, we can't do anything now. Sometimes there are limits, and God challenges us in those lean times to say, are you looking to me, or are you looking to how much is in your budget, or how much they'll let you spend this week or this month? So don't let money be the gas that stops what you're doing. Keep your eyes on God and make sure the gas in your ministry machine is God. Let him be the one thing that keeps you going. Money can be a problem when what? When we start serving money, calling out, we need this, we need. And Jesus said, serve God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, serve God, not money. Number four on this point of having a vision-propelled budget, you are called in your position to be the champion for your vision. So speak up. You are the one that has to speak up. You are the one that has to ask. We have not because we ask not. Often, in a children's ministry, kids don't have what they need because there hasn't been someone there asking. Someone there saying, boy, did you know that there's a need here? Nobody's been asking. Sometimes it's as simple as, I need this because. And all your ministry needs is someone to do that. So be bold. Ask for the kids. The kids are going to just think, hey, we can do without. But you're the one that's going to be contending for this ministry. Put yourself, don't put yourself at odds with the rest of the church in terms of budget. I'm going to say something here that maybe not everybody agrees with, and it may shock you, but hear me out. I don't believe that children's ministry is the most important ministry in the church. I do believe it's equally important. I really do. Before I stepped into children's ministry, my arena was in the main sanctuary with the adults. When I stepped into the children's area, I saw a different church. East Hill Church was so different for the kids, their experience with worship and with quality stuff was at this level. And I thought to myself, well, just looking in, I'm going to be starting pretty soon on staff. Just looking into this, if I were a boy walking into this church, I would have a different experience than my parents. I would think this is kind of a cheap church. Now, my parents wouldn't think that. They got the best. And so early on, I started picking up that call from God to champion the cause for kids, to say, hey, we're not more important, but we're just as important. We need chairs that fit kids. We need these materials to provide a good ministry and to encourage creative teaching. Do you agree? Yeah, you agree. And so did the leaders at our church. They said, well, nobody's ever asked about that. Nobody's ever asked. The administration that was just before me in children's ministry had really gotten used to a different level. They had been told no for so long that they had just kind of given up asking. And now it was a new season, and they were ready to say yes, but Nobody had the courage or faith to say, to ask. And so ask. Be a champion for your vision. That is so important. Number two, here's some principles of biblical money management. And if you'd like to open your Bible, you can, or you can just listen along. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received that 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few. I will put you in charge of many more things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And that is a great principle in terms of money management. And in terms of the first point I want to talk about here is that we need to be accounting for what we spend. We need to make the best, the very best of what we have. And a lot of times, this is really all about attitude. Sometimes we don't have a whole lot, but your attitude can pave the way for the kids to be just happy with what they have, and you can make the very best of a tough situation. Here's a great scene from camp. Well, we realize, kids, our church isn't the fanciest place, but let's try to make the best of it. Whoever goes home with the most bug bites gets to come back next year for free. There's a lot of creative ways. You can make the best of what you have. And that brings us to point number 2. Use what you have. If God gives you a budget, don't just be so doggone frugal that you say, well, I just wanted to save as much as I can. Well, use it. If God has given you favor with your administrator, use what he's given to you. Use the dollars. Don't bury them. There's nothing great about the person that buries all his resources and just saves them up. Use it. Don't be proud that you have the same visuals from 1972 and that you've got these archives that just there's nothing new. Try to make what you have excellent. Use your resources that God has provided. Number 3 under this, accounting for what we spend, fit into the accounting structure of your church. Play by the rules. In other words, be under authority. You may every church is different in this area. And so it's hard for me to get very specific. But they have rules at our church, and there's a way to do things, and there's a way to get in trouble. I try to play by the rules. You make the person that writes the checks happy at your church, and things go a lot easier. If you don't agree, big deal. Just do what they say, and things will. There, you have too many other things to do besides trying to organize your accountant. How many of you agree? Number four, spend wisely. Spend wisely. Be faithful with what you have. You know, sometimes we don't have to get all the little extras out there. Here's the Red Sea Wading Pool. Every children's ministry ought to have one. If we're going through the book of Exodus right now, there's a lot of great catalogs out there, and they tell you, you got to have this, you got to have that. You know, you don't have to have all those things. Boy, watch what you spend. So be faithful with the money that you do have. This money was given to God that you have. Remember that. Always remember that when you go out and buy things, that this money was devoted to God. It's not just your money. Tell the person next to you that. This is not your money. Some people gave sacrificially. Sacrificially. There are little old ladies that are just barely making it, and they faithfully give that 10% or even more, and they live on meager incomes. And when we get too extravagant, you know, I think that we dishonor God sometimes. But so watch how you spend, and remember that this is God's money. It's not my money. Don't treat your equipment the wrong way. There are, like I said earlier, there are some things that you just don't have to do. The trends in children's ministry to have this and to have that and to have the right T-shirts and everything else. Benfield Valley Church, today is Cap Day. The Benfield Valley Church stoops to raw commercialism in its attempt to increase attendance. Watch what you are spending your money on. Sometimes extravagance, it may increase your attendance a little bit, but you may run out of money for the wrong things. Number five, what are you spending? What are you spending your money on? Do you know what you're spending your money on? Record. Somehow record. A lot of times, accountants love to help you figure out what you're spending your money on. They're thinking the very same thing. What are you spending your money on? At our church and in our department, we've decided to divide our accounts up so that we could track what we're spending our money on. So on the receipts, we write different numbers that help us know, that help me know at the end of the year, what did I spend my money on over the whole year or over this month? I get a report back every month. Usually accountants like to help you figure that out because, like I said, they're thinking the very same thing. So accounting, let them be part of your team. Maybe ask them for their help. How can you help me on this? Let's go on to the next point. You really want more money? How many of you really want more money? Oh, come on. How many of you really? I want more money. I didn't get everything I asked for in this year's budget. I got cut back a little bit. There we go. What's that? We should take an offering right now. For outreach. I agree. What's that? Just make it out to Mary Lou Kanata. She'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. Yeah. If you want more money, Luke 16, cross out 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Here's a better reference. Luke 16, 10 through 11. You want more money, here is the key. Pass it on to your folks. Luke 16, 10 through 11. You want more money? Be faithful with what you have. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Really, money is not the issue here. If you honor God with your money, honor God with the money that you do have in your budget, God will give you more. He's your resource. He'll provide in all kinds of interesting ways. Say, have you ever wondered if Peter started looking in fish, the next fish he caught, if he would have opened his mouth? I wonder if there's another coin in there. I don't remember him ever catching a fish and finding any more coins. See, God can provide in so many different ways. He'll keep you guessing. Number one, under this point, take care of materials that you have and encourage your teachers to do the same. Talk to your kids about how we need to take care of what God has provided. The glue, you know. How many times have you put caps back on the glue? Oh, and the caps back on the white markers and putting broken crayons back in. So share this vision. You can't do it all. It's just like a family that takes care of the house. Take care of your equipment. Broken equipment, doesn't that discourage you when you have to replace a very expensive piece of equipment because someone just did not take care of it? You feel really bad about that. I know I do. Number two, honesty is the only policy. It's the only policy. Don't even think. Don't even let anybody think that that there is another way out, that people get in trouble with this all the time. So keep your receipts and don't guess. That'll keep you honest. Don't just think you spent that much. Have the receipt. And sometimes you have to take it. If you lose things, if I lose receipts, I don't get paid often. So I really try to keep track of that because it can be very expensive, especially in a large church, large receipts. Number three, being unorganized. Being unorganized can be very costly. How many of you have noticed that? I do not like it when I have to go buy something because I can't find something. How frustrating. Oh, one day we were coming up to the weekend and the craft required that we have tape, scotch tape. And I wanted to check and see how much tape was in all the cupboards. And my tape dispensers were gone. I couldn't find them. So what did I do? Well, I had to go buy some more. On Monday morning, they all showed up again. Somebody had borrowed them. Of course, that wasn't my fault. That was somebody else. Still getting over that. But now we have lots of tape dispensers. Some things are going to be borrowed and lost by other people, and it's kind of like a family. People borrow things. But, you know, do what you can do to organize. You may be surprised how much paint you have or how much glue you have or how much whatever you have if you just organize. Boy, we have a lot of visuals. Maybe we should put these in a place where people can get to them and so that we don't have to buy new ones all the time. Let's organize it so they're handy. Number four, take an inventory. This fits into this. What do you have? Don't count paper clips, but you may have a lot more things than you think. You're just underneath all those boxes. Label your boxes so they're easily accessible. You may have a gold mine of resources when you think you have nothing. Look at what God has already given to you. Contentment. This has to do with trusting your provider. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then a few verses later, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's why contentment's important. Because if we're just following after, got to have that money, got to have a bigger budget, be satisfied with what is God has given to you right now. Keep on contending and champion your cause. But there are seasons when you don't have everything you need. When I first came on staff, I had to get by on hardly anything. It was right in the middle of the budget season, and our administrator said, you're going to have to make it till September. Really? Really? Okay. there are seasons like that, and your attitude is everything. You can make it the best program on a low budget, or you can just be discouraged. And everybody knows, everybody feels your attitude. So make it the very best. Make it a dynamic program on $10. You don't need $10,000. It would be nice to have $10,000. But do what you can with what you have. Because, number one, God owns it all, doesn't he? He can provide in some unique ways. And Jesus asked us not to worry. If only we had what they had. Boy, comparison, it can tackle you so quick. Boy, East Hill Church, yeah, they can have a successful ministry. Do you know what they spend on kids? Yeah, we can't do what they do. You know, that is small thinking. That's not a small budget. You can do what God's called you to do. In fact, you could do this, but you're not me. You know, I don't believe smaller churches are called to do what bigger churches do all the time. God, you can do things that bigger churches can't do. You have a place in ministry that maybe larger ministries, they can't accomplish. So look at what you can do and follow your vision and expect God to provide it. Comparison can kill you. I started off ministry with comparison. I went to the biggest, most successful church in the Northwest when I first got started. I said, what are you doing? And I looked at all they were doing. And I came back home. And I was discouraged for about 2 weeks because I couldn't even begin to start and accomplish what they were doing. And they had been doing that for years and years and years. Vicki Mitchell had been in children's ministry when I first got started for 15 years before I got started. And so she gave me a lot of great ideas. They help you to be disciplined. They discipline you, right? Discipline you to keep track of your spending. That is a good thing. When I was a kid, my mom didn't buy all the snacks and treats that were out there. And I asked her later, you know, when I was a teenager, why don't we have this treat and that snack and these things? And she said, well, we're on a budget. I only have this much to spend, Paul. And I'm going to make sure that you eat well. So the money I do use is going to be nutritious. And so sometimes when we have a smaller amount to spend, we have to spend very wisely and make it count. Not a lot of empty calorie activities or props or if you can catch all of that. Good little example of that. In Sunday school, we learned how Jesus made 1,000 meals from some bread and fish. My mom can do the same thing with Thanksgiving leftovers. So there's a great, great object lesson. Moms can do it. We can do it too. And so keep track of what you're doing. And that brings us, turn to the last page of your notes right there. This is just a brief worksheet. You probably have other worksheets that you use. But hopefully this can be something that you can that can help you write down the different categories of spending that you do have. Budget descriptions. There's some examples at the bottom. Printed curriculum, teaching supplies, ministry supplies. You may have different categories that you use. Worship needs, videos, snacks, photocopies, teacher training and appreciation, birthday cards. That's an important thing to me. It doesn't have to be for everybody. I send a birthday card to every kid in our church. Sure, it costs a little bit, but for that one kid, that's important. That's one personal thing that I do for every single kid. And so we budget, you know, it becomes a clump of money, but overall, it's an effective thing. Every single week, that's probably the one thing that we spend on money on that I get the most response from, the most bang for my buck. Every single week, I get at least two or three kids that say, thank you for the card. And that's something special. I even hear stories about how they've kept them over the years. But start writing this out. You can use this to maybe chart what your spending is, or maybe even your vision for how much you spend per week, added up per month, and throughout the year. Use that. Here's some money-saving ideas. One is simplify. And when you simplify without losing your effectiveness. Maybe you have a 4-page newsletter that you send out every month to your teachers and your parents and kids. How about if you just had a 1-page that everybody read? and was a lot cheaper to print and a lot easier to put together. Think about ways that you can simplify. Ask people. Look at what you do. Here's another one. Be a bargain hunter. Sometimes people, depending on your personality, you can go overboard in being a bargain hunter. But we have found the best bargains at yard sales for props. One of our very best props, and we've got 3 of these, was those campfires with the little rolling colored cellophane in the back of it, and it looks like a real fire. That's been it's just electric. You plug it in and it's been our best prop. And we've used it over and over and over again. Put it in the classroom, turn out the lights, and you've got this glowing fire in the corner. And so look, and if we had to buy that at a store brand new, we priced them out. We would have never bought it. We got it for $5. You can get things that are real bargains. One time I bought a whole set of the family entertainment videos. How many of you know those are expensive? I bought the whole set for, I think it was $15. One was twice that much. So I got that whole set, and it was brand new. I think only one tape had been used. There are bargains. If you have a list that of needs, inform your parents about that. There may be, if you hate garage sales, maybe there are people that love them. My assistant loves to go to garage sales, so he'll bring things in. One time he brought in this lighting system, stage lighting. He picked it up for $15. It was like $400 stage lighting, and it was somebody who was just getting rid of it. He bought a tape recorder, a Marantz tape recorder that must have been worth about $300, professional tape recorder, and they were selling it for next to nothing. And I hope it wasn't stolen. But there are some bargains out there that you can find. Use learning materials that can be photocopied. There are a lot of publishing companies that are sensitive to the fact that you may not be able to spend $3,000 this quarter on curriculum. That's something that you can photocopy and adjust to the number of students that you have is a good direction to go. Survey the congregation. Find out special talents that are within your body. Some of the most memorable learning experiences that we've had, special guests, were absolutely free this year. The professional cowboy who came in and did roping tricks, and he was good. I mean, he was the best. He was a champion roper, and the kids just gravitated towards him, and he brought his horse in. We have people that bring their animals in, and we don't pay them any money. They just go to our church, and they love to help. They love to use what they have for God, and I tell them that. I tell them when they bring those kind of things in, isn't that something? These little lambs are being used by God, that you raised them up to bring them into church so that kids could capture that point. That's great. Maybe sometimes you can cover the costs of special events by charging a small admission or taking an offering. How many of you do that? You have to weigh that, and maybe there is somebody that is in your church that may want to sponsor that. You know, it sure would be nice to be able to have this group. We only had the money. What does it cost? Well, I'll help them. I want to sell this book to you. I'm not personally selling it. Mary Lou, is this a good book? This is an excellent book. I picked it up Wednesday night, and I read it that night. And it says, it's called Children's Ministry Guide for Smaller Churches, your step-by-step guide for making a big impact on a little bitty budget. And I read it, and I just saw something about smaller churches that really opened my eyes. Ah, that is a great, this guy is really an expert on ideas for smaller churches, and he has some great things to say about budgets, whether you're a small, medium, or large church. So pick up this book. Get them. Grab them while you can. It's by Rick Cromley. Cromie. Sorry about that. And I'm going to just read you a little testimony here. A lot of times in saving money, we just have to ask for help. We run out of options, and we just don't look around. So listen to this story. It's really something. Jim understands this principle about asking for help. He's a part-time children's choir director in a church of 90 in the inner city. He wanted to develop a choir of kids from the surrounding urban neighborhood. He hoped to tour with the children and use the choir to introduce more neighborhood kids to Jesus. What does he have? What does he have so far? He's got vision. Isn't that great? He had a problem. The problem was money. He had lots of interested kids, the music, and even the support of the parents. But there was little cash in the small congregation. Jim wanted a set of risers. He started listing his needs for the children to stand on. He thought, a keyboard. There's one more thing in my list, a keyboard. And a sound system. Another thing on my list would be nice. A van. We'll put the van down. Write it out. To transport the children to local performances was important. Jim knew exactly what he wanted, and he looked for creative ways to meet the choir's needs. It didn't take long, listen to this, before his explorations paid off. First, Jim discovered that a retired carpenter in his church was willing to build a set of portable risers, donating both his time and the materials. Then, check that off. Then, with a few phone calls, Jim located the keyboard and the sound system. A couple of churches were willing to lend them, and one even considered making its loan a permanent donation. A nearby children's home agreed to lend its van to Jim's group as long as basic expenses were covered. Now Jim's choir was ready to hit the road. So he did it all in order. He had the vision. He wrote it out. He asked. God provided. That's really how simple it is. When you are presenting a budget, do just that. Write out your vision. Write out exactly what you need. Start asking and trust God. He will provide everything that you need. Finally, I have a quote from one of the pioneers in ministry in the church today, Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission, who says, "Many Christians estimate difficulties in light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little that they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and His presence being with them." Do the same. A lot of times we have been brainwashed, especially in America, we've been brainwashed to think, if only we had a bigger budget, we could do what God's called us to do. Not true. Over and over again, the scripture presents wealth is not something to be sought. The Lord who created the universe can bless abundantly. As we continue to contend for the very best for our kids, we must keep our heart right. Remember the words of Jesus, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our financial strength, the strength of our budget, really is in Jesus, our provider. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that You would build our faith in You. Lord, we come from all different kinds of backgrounds, God, but we believe that You are the God who gives us vision. You're the God that can make what other people say is impossible, possible. You're the great provider. So Lord, right now, we present our vision to You. We present our vision to our provider. Lord, make it come to pass. Lord, however You want to do that, Lord, we're open. We're open to even throwing a line in and opening a fish. Lord, whatever You want to do, or however You want to provide, we are willing. Lord, help us to champion the cause of kids. Give us boldness to stand and ask. Lord, surround us with people that can do the same. Lord, we want to be faithful with what You've given to us. Lord, help our hearts trust You as we go about Your ministry. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you.